Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to this month's Life Note for Career Month, October 2020. I'm your host, Jordan River, and today's Life Note is The War of Art, Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles by Stephen Pressfield, summarized by Erica Trinidad. As always, let's jump in with a quote. Creative work is a gift to the world and every being in it. Don't cheat us of your contribution. Give us what you've got. Core concept. Whether you're a writer, entrepreneur, performer, or any aspiring creative looking to hone their craft and build their body of work, Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art might be the inspiration you need to take action against the forces inside of you that are getting in the way of you doing great work. That is, a sense of resistance, usually taking the form of procrastination, self-doubt, fear, and much more. In this three-part guide of sorts, Pressfield, through decades of his own experience as a Hollywood screenwriter, nonfiction author, and professional novelist, lays down the principles he's learned along the way in creating great work, where working smart and hard beats relying on raw talent on any given day, and where a job well done is enough of a reward in itself over any form of external validation. The trick, he says, is overcoming resistance in order to turn pro, enter the realm beyond resistance, and reach your full potential to contribute your own work to the world. Let's jump into today's first big thought. Everyone, no matter how talented, encounters resistance when trying to do great work. The first step to overcoming it is to understand what it is and recognizing its characteristics. Quote, are you a writer who doesn't write, a painter who doesn't paint, an entrepreneur who never starts a venture? Then you know what resistance is. End quote. Everyone encounters resistance in many forms. It appears when pursuing any task in our lives that is of utmost importance, whether it's the pursuit of a calling in the creative arts, launching a business, undertaking a new health regimen, overcoming an addiction, killing a bad habit, striving for spiritual enlightenment, or even making commitments of the heart, such as getting married or starting a family. When these events arise in our lives, resistance can pop up any time. But how does one recognize when it's happening? There are many characteristics to resistance. First, resistance is invisible. You won't be able to see or touch it, but you can feel it as a repelling force whose sole aim is to prevent you from doing your work. Second, resistance is internal. We're usually inclined to blame outside forces getting in the way of us doing what we're called to do, our jobs, our situations. But it's important to remember that resistance is both self-generated and self-perpetuated. It is always, first and foremost, an internal struggle. Third, resistance is insidious. As a repelling force, resistance has no conscience. It will employ any means necessary to prevent you from doing your work, whether it bullies you into doubting yourself or seduces you with false ideas. Fourth, resistance is implacable. As a negative force, resistance is an engine of destruction. It is always present and cannot be reasoned with, only overcome. Fifth, resistance is impersonal. As a force of nature, it neither knows nor cares who you are. It acts objectively and indifferently. Sixth, resistance is infallible. The more important something is to us, the more resistance we will encounter. We can use this to our advantage to get clarity about what matters most. Seventh, resistance is universal. Every single person will encounter some form of resistance in their lifetime. Remember that you are never the only one. Eighth, resistance never sleeps. The fear never goes away, whether you're an amateur or an expert. To create authentically is to face the battle with resistance each time you do. Ninth, resistance plays for keeps. Resistance aims for the kill, the death of everyone's unique genius. If we do not battle resistance, we will risk the unique and priceless gifts that each of us was born to do in this world. To battle resistance is to fight for our lives. 10th, resistance is fueled by fear. Resistance grows stronger the more we are afraid of it. If we master that fear, we conquer resistance. And finally, 11th, resistance is the most powerful at the finish line. The danger is greatest when the end is in sight. The professional must always be ready for resistance when he's about to complete his work, because that is when it is greatest. Resistance manifests in many forms, but its goal is to always prevent us from doing our greatest work. The key is taking awareness or advantage of it when we recognize its symptoms. Quote, "Resistance is the most toxic force on the planet. To yield to resistance deforms our spirit. It stunts us and makes us less than we are and were born to be." End quote. There are many forms to resistance, some that may be directly obstructing our work, while others are more in the periphery of our lives, but are no less powerful in their impact on one's ability to do the work they were meant to do. Let's explore these different forms now. Procrastination. This is the most common form of resistance because it's the easiest to rationalize. Instead of simply saying we won't do something, we can always say we'll do it tomorrow. The dangerous thing about procrastination is that it can easily turn into a habit that can last for our lifetimes if we're not careful. Instant gratification. Whether it takes the form of alcohol, gossip, TV, food, or any other stimulant, resistance finds its way into our lives by providing distractions and cheap, easy fixes that can easily derail us in pursuing our work. Trouble. In Pressman's words, getting ourselves in trouble is, quote, "a cheap way to get attention." When we draw attention to ourselves through pain-free or artificial means, compulsively screwing up, chronic lateness, proneness to accidents, jealousy, or any other neurotic behavior that hurts ourselves or others, resistance is taking full form. Self-dramatization. Stirring up drama in our personal lives, and sometimes even enabling it in our existing relationships, be it with friends or family, can be a form of resistance, as distracting as it is effective. We can be so caught up in our own toxic cycles that we and anyone else we know never get anything done. Self-medication. Instead of applying self-knowledge, self-discipline, hard work, and delayed gratification to manage our own struggles with anxiety and depression, we focus on consuming products instead, which does not get to the root of our troubles and is, in itself, a form of resistance. Victimhood. When you cast yourself as the victim, you're relieving yourself of the responsibility to do the work that's needed, and instead placing the burden on others, enabling even more resistance in your own life. Criticism. If you find yourself wanting to criticize others, it probably means that resistance has taken place. People who have fully realized lives almost never criticize others, and instead are always wanting to offer up encouragement. Self-doubt. Self-doubt can be your ally because it can be an indicator of aspiration. In Pressman's view, quote, "counterfeit innovators are wildly self-confident," end quote, while the true artists are usually the ones scared to death. Fear. Just like self-doubt, fear can be your ally. As Pressman notes, the more afraid we are of our work or calling, the more sure we have to be to do it. It points us in the direction of the work that matters most. And finally, love. Resistance is directly proportional to love. If you're feeling massive resistance, the good news is that there's tremendous love too. The more resistance you feel, the more important the work or project is to you. Combating resistance requires making the leap from being an amateur to turning professional. Quote, "the moment an artist turns pro is as epochal as the birth of his first child. With one stroke, everything changes. I can state absolutely that the term of my life can be divided into two parts, before turning pro and after," end quote. In Pressman's view, the main difference between being an amateur and a professional in one's work lies in the way they approach it. Amateurs wait for inspiration or when the mood strikes. Professionals show up every day, regardless of how they feel. Amateurs view their work as merely a hobby, something to be played for fun or on the weekends. Professionals commit to their crafts every day and plan to do so for their entire lifetimes. Here's how being professional plays out in everyday life. Professionals show up every day. They might do it only because they have to, but they do it. Professionals show up no matter what, in sickness and in health, come hell or high water. Professionals stay on the job all day. Their minds may wander, but their bodies remain where they are needed. They don't go home until the work is done. Professionals commit over the long haul. Even if they change jobs, companies, or countries, they will be working and committing to their craft. Professionals know that the stakes are real. What they do is born out of survival and wanting to make an honest living. Professionals accept compensation for their work. They don't do it for fun. They do it for the money and for the love of it. Professionals do not over-identify with their jobs. They may take pride in their work or go the extra mile, but they recognize that they are not their work. Resistance feeds off of amateurs who define themselves by their work. They become too invested in their success, and they take their work too seriously, so much so that it paralyzes them. Professionals master the technique of their work. They adopt a craftsman's mindset. Professionals have a sense of humor about their jobs. They don't take it too seriously. And finally, professionals receive blame and praise in the real world. They operate in an environment where the consequences of their actions have true weight. To be a professional is to risk disappointment, rejection, and loss each time. To combat resistance is to keep doing the work anyway. Quote, "That was when I realized that I had become pro. I had not yet had a success, but I had had a real failure." End quote. It's not just the way a professional acts, but also how a professional thinks and feels that differentiates them from amateurs and ultimately helps them face resistance when they sit down to do their work. Let's explore some character traits of professionals together. Professionals are patient. Resistance loves to outwit the amateur by using their initial enthusiasm against them. It knows that, at the start of any project, amateurs can get overly excited, overly ambitious, and set unrealistic expectations, leading to their eventual burnout before the project is completed. Professionals, on the other hand, understand delayed gratification. They are mentally prepared to accept the reality that the project will take a lot longer and will cost a lot more than they thought possible. They conserve their energy, they think long term, and know that as long as they do work, things will turn out okay. Professionals also value order. Professionals are on a mission and cannot tolerate disorder or chaos. They understand the importance of priming their environment so that they can do their best work and let their muse work through them. Professionals treat their work as craft instead of art. They understand that all creative work is sacred in its own way, but don't dwell on it too much. Instead, they focus on technique and leave the what and why of it to higher forces. Amateurs over-glorify and get too preoccupied with the mysteries of the creative process. Professionals shut up and focus on the work at hand. Professionals act in the face of fear. Amateurs believe that they must first overcome their fear and then they can do their work. Professionals acknowledge that the fear never really goes away and it will always be part of doing the work. Professionals do not tolerate excuses. An amateur will accept excuses getting in the way of doing the work. They have other things to do. They can put their work off for another day. This is resistance in disguise. Professionals respect resistance and understand the power of showing up consistently. They know that if they cave in today, they're twice as likely to cave in tomorrow. Professionals accept imperfect conditions. To do great work and present it to the real world is to understand that it will always be an uneven playing field and rolling with the punches anyways. There will be injustice, adversity, bad calls, lucky breaks, and everything in between. Professionals work within these conditions and acknowledge that a level playing field only exists in heaven. Professionals are mentally prepared for a day's work. Professionals recognize that resistance will throw everything it can to stop them from doing their work, whether it's self-sabotage or a lousy workday. Professionals are prepared, on a deeper level, to absorb and give the blows that come with doing the work. Their aim is not success, but of self-mastery. Professionals do not show off. They let their work speak for itself. Professionals dedicate themselves to mastering their technique. Professionals respect their craft. They focus on their technique, because they want to have the full arsenal of tools and skills when inspiration strikes. Professionals ask for help. They know that there will always be infinite levels to getting better at their craft. Professionals do not take their successes or failures seriously or personally. The professional works hard not to let their ego run the show. They can love their work wholeheartedly and give it everything they've got, but must always remember that they are separate from it. Professionals self-validate. They do not allow the actions of others to define their reality. Professionals know their limits. They hire and outsource other pros, whether it's an accountant, an agent, or a lawyer, to handle their business so they can sit down and focus on their work. Professionals reinvent themselves. As artists, professionals serve the muse, and the muse may have more than one job for them over their lifetime. And finally, professionals recognize other professionals. They know who has done the work and served their time versus the ones who haven't. Creation happens when we overcome resistance and enter the realm beyond it. Quote, "This is the other secret that real artists know and wannabe writers don't. When we sit down each day and do our work, power concentrates around us. The muse takes note of our dedication. She approves. We have earned favor in her sight. When we sit down and work, we become like a magnetized rod that attracts iron filings. Ideas come. Insights accrete." End quote. As Pressman notes, the most important thing is to simply sit down and do the work. Nothing else matters. In the pursuit of perfecting our craft, our focus must be on putting in the energy and time to create what we said we would. And in the process, something mysterious happens. As we do more work, it gets better. We're able to produce more and produce better. And somehow, we actually finish what we set out to do. Some would call this entering a state of flow. Pressman believes this to be entering the realm beyond resistance. The question is, how do you enter this plane? How do you invite inspiration to stay long enough for you to finish something that you can be proud of? And what exactly happens when you've successfully sustained overcoming resistance, at least for another day? Unsurprisingly, Pressman has his own process for entering this state. First, invoke your muse. Whether you call it your muse, an unseen power, or any other higher force you believe is responsible when creation strikes, you must pray earnestly for what it is that you need help with and show your respect before you sit down to do the work. Second, begin to do the work. When we conceive of an idea and make the wholehearted commitment to start it in the face of our fears, creation happens. Third, keep doing the work even when you're not doing it. Pressman likes to take a hike after a full day's work. He brings a tape recorder along and records all of his thoughts and insights about how to make the work better as he hikes and walks in nature. In other words, he allows the space for self-revision and self-correction, and he does so when he's not so close to the work, whether in space or in time. And finally, fourth, focus on authenticity. Pay attention to what your soul is really telling you what kind of work you want to do. Whether it's in your dreams, your meditations, or even your intuition. When faced with the concept of death, what is it that truly brings you to life? And can you commit to doing the work to create that? In matters of creation, the muse rewards authenticity each time. When you seat your consciousness in the self instead of the ego, you will be able to create great work. Quote, "The ego doesn't want us to evolve. The ego runs the show right now. It likes the things just the way they are. The instinct that pulls us towards art is the impulse to evolve, to learn, to heighten and elevate our own consciousness. The ego hates this, because the more awake we become, the less we need the ego." End quote. Pressman believes that operating from the higher consciousness of the self instead of the ego makes the difference in doing great work. He believes that the self touches upon divine ground, that it expresses our highest being and is united with God. In that sense, the self values self-evolution. It is where our impulse to create, write, paint, and express our souls comes from. The ego, in contrast, wants things to remain the same. It is where resistance comes from as it tries to stop the evolution that the self is calling each of us to do. The trick is understanding when we are seeding our consciousness in the self or in the ego. The ego believes that death is real, that our existence is defined by our physical flesh. The self believes that death is an illusion. The soul endures and evolves through infinite manifestations. The ego believes that time and space are real. It believes that getting from A to Z, we have to pass through B, C, and D. The self believes that time and space only operate in the physical sphere. They do not apply to our dreams or visions. We can inhabit multiple planes simultaneously. The ego believes that every individual is different and separate from every other. I can hurt you, and it won't hurt me. The self believes that all beings are one. If I hurt you, I hurt myself. The ego believes that the predominant impulse of life is self-preservation. The self believes that we are all in this together. The supreme emotion is love. We are all here to unite with and help one another. The ego believes that there is no God. No other spheres exist except the physical plane we are all in now. The self believes that God is all there is, and God exists in one form or another. Infinite planes of reality exist, all created by, sustained by, and infused by the Spirit of God. In doing the work that we were meant to do, the biggest fear we must overcome is the fear that we will succeed. Quote, "These are serious fears, but they're not the real fear, not the master fear, the mother of all fears, that's so close to us that even when we verbalize it, we don't believe it." End quote. In the journey to creating our best work, resistance will manifest in every fear imaginable. Fear of the consequences of following our heart, fear of poverty, fear of having to start all over again, fear of being selfish, fear of failing to support our families, of sacrificing their dreams for ours, fear of failure, fear of being ridiculous, fear of throwing away our education, fear of launching into the void, fear of passing some point of no return where we must live with this choice for the rest of our lives, fear of madness, fear of insanity, fear of death. These are all valid fears that we all must face in the journey to overcome resistance. But as Pressman notes, none are as great as the fear that we will succeed, that we will reach our fullest potential, that we can become the persons we truly want to be in our hearts, that we become more than who we or anybody else think we are. We fear this because we are afraid to live up to this. It's terrifying to constantly prove ourselves worthy of our own ideals. And if we do, what's to become of our friends and family? Will they even still recognize us? Or will we end up all alone? On this end, Pressman believes that reaching our full potential doesn't have to be such a scary thing. We may end up reaching greater heights than we could have known existed, and we may lose people we were connected to along the way. But in this journey to become who we truly were meant to be, we will never be alone. Instead, we will end up tapping into an inexhaustible source of wisdom, companionship, and consciousness. As we evolve, the people around us will too. We were all born with unique personalities, skills, and talents. In doing great work, our goal is not to become the person who we think we should be, but to become more of who we truly are. Quote, "Our job in this lifetime is not to shape ourselves into some ideal we imagine we ought to be, but to find out who we already are and become it." End quote. In this journey to do great work, our goal is to become our authentic selves, to embrace who we truly are and become it. As Pressman notes, anyone who's ever had children can absolutely attest to the fact that children do not come as a blank canvas. We are all born as unique individuals, each equipped to mark our own mark in this world. We do not have unlimited choices. We can't be anything we want to be. Instead, we must embrace the fact that we all came into this world with a specific personal destiny. We have a job to do, a calling to enact, a self to become. Our job is to realize what we were born to do and get down to business in making that happen for as long as we're alive. I hope you enjoyed spending this time today with me exploring the Life Note for Career Month, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. I look forward to bringing you more wisdom next month and each and every month as we explore the 12 categories together. This is Jordan River signing off, wishing you all an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.